Lives of the companions, رضي الله عنهم. Lives of the companions, رضي الله عنهم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Many respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program, Lives of the Companions. Before we proceed towards our topic and segments, let's recite Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam together, because it is the saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who recites one Salat upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon that person. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
MashaAllah. Wasim Abbas bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you, mashaAllah?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. How are you, Rizwan?
Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, ala kulli hal.
MashaAllah.
We both welcome viewers of Madani Channel in our program, Lives of the Companions. And as we discussed last week, Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha, qaddamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, fourth caliph of Islam, inshaAllah. Today will be the second episode of that. Same beautiful personality, inshallah, we'll be talking about Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha, qaddamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, and fadail, excellences, and from his life and legacy, what we can learn. What's your boss, babe? My Sheikh Tariqat, alhamdulillah, your Sheikh Tariqat, our mentor, our guide, he reminds us to make good intentions, alhamdulillah. And this is our habit before performing any bayan, delivering any speech or presenting any program, we remind viewers of Madani Channel also some of the good intentions. So alhamdulillah, the foremost intention that you and me should make is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will present this program. And what intentions can viewers make while watching this program, if you can elaborate on this?
SubhanAllah, there are many benefits of learning knowledge of Islam. So this can also be one of the intentions that inshaAllah Zawajal, by watching this program, and we should make this intention by delivering this program, we will acquire the knowledge of Deen. Alhamdulillah.
And we can make that they will learn and
they will respond. Indeed. They will learn, they'll acquire the knowledge and act upon it, inshaAllah.
MashaAllah. And definitely focus is important, concentration is important.
Indeed.
Ask your family members, viewers, children, they can come sit in front of TV channels. This one of its kind, unique program, inshaAllah. So much to learn from our pious predecessors, our heroes of Islam, alhamdulillah, and we can gain a lot from their life and legacy. So this is something to watch and teach our children too. Rasulullah Allah, alhamdulillah, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has praised Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha, qaddamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, mentions various his attributes and qualities on various occasions, alhamdulillah, and we covered a few of them last week. What would you like to mention today? In the very start.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There's one way, mashallah, you mentioned last week as well regarding Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem being the door of city of knowledge,
wow,
and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam being the city of knowledge. In the same relation, mashallah, the beautiful narrations which show the status of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem in terms of knowledge as well, what great knowledge he possessed and what great bestowments Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had upon him from the perspective of knowledge as well. Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu states that once I was present in the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and someone came and he inquired from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam regarding Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. Now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he replies to him, he starts talking about Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And the Prophet ﷺ said that wisdom and intellect, it has been divided into 10 parts.
Okay.
has been divided into 10 parts, and 9 of them have been granted to Ali,
Allah.
And 1 has been granted to rest of the creation, rest of the
Allah.
People. You can imagine the status of Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem from the perspective of wisdom and knowledge that he possesses over here. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he himself is mentioning regarding Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem that wisdom, intellect has 10, it is divided into 10 parts. 9 of them have been given to Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And who's saying this? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, through whose court every blessing, wisdom is
distributed.
Indeed.
Every ni'mah is distributed.
Indeed. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the distributor of wisdom, is mentioning this. And this alone should be enough for us to understand the eminence and status that Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem possesses.
MashaAllah. I've got another beautiful hadith, the great scholar of Islam, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiyallahu ta'ala, and he's reported that beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been reported to have said, Allahu Akbar, a very, very comprehensive statement Rasulullah has given to this ummah. And that is, I am the city of knowledge. Abu Bakr is its foundation. Umar is its walls. Uthman is its roof. And Ali is its door. So all four caliphs, their eminence, their excellence, statement that has been described. How beautifully, subhanAllah, by Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam.
And also the sequence in which the names of Khulafa al-Rashidin is mentioned, yes, is also depicts the superiority of each of them. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was mentioned first, then Umar Faruq radiyallahu anhu, then Uthmani Ghani radiyallahu anhu, and then Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. On the same note, Rizwanmi, there's another beautiful narration where Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he himself says that I once asked in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that advise me something, give me a nasiha. To which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, قُلْ رَبِّي اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, meaning that say, Allah is my Lord and be steadfast upon this. So this was the advice given by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he says that, I said, meaning Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he said, Allahu Rabbi wa ma tawfiqi illa billahi alayhi tawakkaltu wa ilayhi unib. So this is what I said, meaning that my Lord is Allah, and my ability, my tawfiq, is from Him, is from Allah Almighty. I've relied upon Him, only upon Him, Allah Almighty, and it is towards Him that I am to return, or I return. Now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, after listening to this, he says that, O Abu Hassan, Abu Hassan was the kunya of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he says that, congratulations to you upon your ilm, upon your knowledge. You have quenched your thirst by drinking from the ocean of knowledge.
Subhanallah.
How beautifully the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions this attribute of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem regarding his scholarly status, that congratulations to you upon your knowledge. You have quenched your thirst by drinking from the ocean of knowledge.
What can you talk about the Zat of Mawla Ali Mashkil Kusha karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem for his eminence and his excellence, ayat of he was
released. Allah,
right?
Allah,
Allah,
subhanAllah.
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 Now, the shan of Ahl al-Bayt is clear, proven from Quran, that their paki, their pureness, their purity is described and mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran. What can you talk about their purity? What can you talk about their taqi? What can you talk about their eminence and status? And for this reason, Allahu Akbar, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem's eminence is further elevates. And a person can understand that Quran is mentioning their purity, their taqi, and their eminence. And furthermore, if we talk about the relation of relationship and with Rasulullah alayhi salam, he was cousin brother of Rasulullah alayhi salam, right? And further, not only that, damad-e Rasul,
son-in-law
of Rasulullah alayhi salam, the most beloved, one of the most beloved daughters of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salam, was given in the nikah of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu. So from here, there's another, subhanAllah,
the most beloved daughter,
the most beloved. Yeah, we can say that this relationship also gives him another, subhanAllah, distinctive quality and attribute. Further, if we talk about Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, these two great grandsons of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, whom Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam loved like children, own children, said, Hussain is from me and I'm from Hussain. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam did not like that they cried.
Allah.
So this was the love he had for these children, and they are the sons of Sayyidina Ali.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So we look at this relation, what he possesses.
Subhanallah.
So we can understand that what status Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem possesses.
Subhanallah. And also, Rizwanvi, this also highlights the fact that how much love they both had for each other. Of course, Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, his love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would be unmatched, as this is the foundation ground for the faith of every believer.
Sure.
The superior you are in faith, the more you would love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And in our last episode, we covered the journey of migration, and Prophet ﷺ migrated, and Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, he stayed behind, returned the belongings to the Prophet ﷺ, instructed him. Now, the love that an ummati, a servant, a slave would have towards his master is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine the eminence of that slave when the master also loves him daily.
Subhanallah.
And then whenever anything is granted to him by his master, he holds it very dear to himself. Now the title Abu Turab that we covered in last episode as well, this title was given to him by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Now this very title, which means oh the one of soil, now this very title, he would become very happy when someone would refer to him as Abu Turab. Why? Because of the definition of the title? Because of what it means? Because of the literal meaning? No. Because this was given to him by his master, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Doesn't matter what it means. It was given to him by the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So it also reflects the great love they both had for each other. And when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also has that love for Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, it shows us how fortunate and how great Ali radiallahu anhu is in terms of eminence and status.
Alhamdulillah. We will talk further about this great personality, Mawla Ali Mashriq Shafur, the Caliph of Islam, Tahmad Rasul, father of Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Hussain, and subhanallah, husband of Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. That personality is Mawla Ali Mushkil Kushan karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. Today we're talking about this great personality, but now it's the time to include one segment in our program, and that is message from a scholar. Let's find out what message is there for all of us. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu
ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiallahu anhum.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. And when they, i.e. children of Israel, observed patience, when Bani Israel observed patience, they became determined. We made some amongst them as leaders. In reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made some of them leaders, imams, who would give guidance by our command, meaning they would give guidance through the command of Allah. In reward of their patience, they were granted imamat, leadership of this world. And it is true, in this world, position of leadership, status of imamat, and having excellence over other people is granted to that nation who possesses the passion of determination, steadfastness, those who have courage to face difficulties, and have courage to observe patience. And it is not just restricted to past, even today in this day and age. Only that nation stands out in this world. The nation which possesses element of sabr has better quality of patience. The nation who has courage to face difficulties, whereas those nations who cannot face difficulties, they surely fell down. They cannot even survive. The progress and climax of nations, it's because of this quality, patience.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
MashaAllah, beautiful message from Mufti Qasim. Alhamdulillah, we will learn about patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to whatever we learn, we also act upon. And respecting Yusuf Malikian, as I already explained, and you know that we are talking about Mawla Ali Mushrik Ushaq, Qadam Allahu Ta'ala, Wajhahu Al-Kareem. Sayyidina Masbi, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali Murtaza, Qadam Allahu Ta'ala, Wajhahu Al-Kareem, has said, after the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar are better than all. He added, لا يجتمع حبي وبغض أبي بكر وعمر في قلب المؤمن. Love for me and hatred for Abu Bakr and Umar cannot gather in the heart of a true believer.
Allah.
It is the saying of Sayyidina Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahu Al-Kareem. He himself said this. He gave this statement. And this beautiful narration, which explains no doubt the status of Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and radiyallahu anhu and Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam and radiyallahu ta'ala, but it also gives us a clear indication that if somebody loves Mawla Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahu Al-Kareem but does not love Shaykhain Kareemain, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam and radiyallahu ta'ala, then this heart cannot be a heart of a mu'min.
There is a contradiction in the claim of loving Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu.
Definitely. He said that the one who would love me, he will not have hatred for Shaykh al-Kareem. So this is respecting Yusuf Malikian. We also learn the love of Mawla Ali Mushkil Kushakar radiallahu ta'ala Wajhahu al-Kareem demands that we also love Sahaba al-Kiram. We also respect
all the Sahaba.
All Sahaba al-Kiram. Har Sahabi, Nabi, Jinnati,
Jinnati.
And again, this was their love between them, right? This is what they, alhamdulillah, expressed. And these ahadiths, what we read today and we get today, and they were mentioned, and this love was demonstrated in their lives.
Indeed.
And this is what we need to also focus. So what further would you like to mention from this?
SubhanAllah. There's a narration before me, Rizwan Bhai, that again depicts the picture regarding the scholarly status of Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, Karramallahu ta'ala Wajhahu al-Kareem. An elite Sahabi like Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he is narrating this. He says that undoubtedly the Quran has been revealed upon seven words,
okay,
upon seven haroof. And every single word has a zahir as well as batin.
Right.
Zahir is apparent and batin is inner.
Yes.
So he says that every word has a zahir as well as batin. And Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Karramallahu ta'ala Wajhahu al-Kareem is such a scholar who has the knowledge of both zahir as well as batin. In other words, he has the knowledge of every single thing.
Allah.
He has the knowledge of the entire Quran, the zahir, the batin, the apparent, the hidden, the inner, the outer, everything. He has the knowledge of all that. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he himself has a very high scholarly status. He himself is also known as an elite companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So when something of this nature is being said by someone who himself also holds a very high rank, this also shows the greatness and eminence of that very personality.
No doubt, no doubt. You're talking about the knowledge of Mawla Ali Mushrik Ushaq. If I'm not mistaken, this is the call of Mawla Ali Mushrik Ushaq, Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahu al-Kareem, that I can write the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha.
SubhanAllah.
And I can fill, I think, 70 camels.
SubhanAllah.
For the registers of that Surah Al-Fatiha. So what can be said about the knowledge, what can be said about the scholarly status of Mawla Ali Karim? Respecting Yusuf Al-Kareem, we are talking about Mawla Ali Karim Allahu Ta'ala Wajhahu Al-Kareem, and there are so many other attributes which we can talk about, but one beautiful feature of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala is that his aversion to worldliness.
Allah.
He was not ravid towards dunya.
He was not inclined towards dunya.
He was not inclined towards the love of this dunya. This love of dunya was not in the heart of Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mushrik Ushaq. Now Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala keeps himself away from wealth, and he would have strong and great dislike towards worldliness. Ibn Nabbaj once came in the presence of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem and humbly said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Baitul Maal public treasury is full of gold and silver. Right? It's something very interesting. He said that it's full of gold and silver. Upon that, Sayyidina Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahu al-Kareem said, Allahu Akbar, stood up, went to the Baitul Maal. and instructed, O Nandaj, call the people of Kufa. Announcements were made. Then he radiallahu anhu distributed all the wealth amongst the people.
Allah.
And he radiallahu anhu was in the state that while distributing, he would say, O gold, O silver, go away from me.
O gold, Akbar,
O silver, go away from me. Alas, after distribution, not even a single dinar or dirham was left.
Allahu Akbar.
And then ordered to spray out water inside the Baitul Mal public treasury and offered 2 rakat salah there. Allah subhanahu. This was dislike from worldliness. He did not have love of this dunya, love of this mal in his heart. Again, this also tells the generosity of Mawlana Ali Kusha, because they had learned this from the court of Rasulullah alayhi salam. When Rasulullah alayhi salam had mal, there is one narration that he was not comfortable unless or until everything was distributed.
Indeed.
Right?
Indeed.
And this is what they had learned. And this was again the case of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. And we also heard and read from her seerah that she was also not comfortable unless mal was present, and she distributed. Even
everything.
She did not keep something for the for her own food of that day. And that slave girl reminded her that she could have kept
indeed
something for your own self. But she, subhanAllah, distributed everything. And again, this is the seerah of Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mushrik Bushak, he knows that it is full of gold and silver. He doesn't stop unless each and everything is distributed. This is the thought of Mawla Ali Mushrik Bushak.
SubhanAllah. This is one of those features, Rizwanmi, that is instilled in your heart the more closer you get in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, who would be more close in the court of Allah Almighty than Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Karram Allah ta'ala wajhahu al-Kareem? Who would close in the court of Allah Almighty more than Shaykhani Kareemain, Ali Muridwan? And this also leads to the fact that, you see, you're talking about disinterest in this world. This is interlinked with other traits as well, such as having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having a concern for the hereafter. And humility, the element of humility also comes into play over here. Then you also have the aversion and dislike for the fame of this world, being renowned in the sight of people, then sincerity, then reliance upon Allah Almighty. All this, it comes together. Without having these attributes, it's very difficult to have that disinterest from this world. And Mawla Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahu Al-Kareem, of course, who's the ocean of knowledge, who quenched his thirst of knowledge by drinking from the ocean of knowledge, the reality of this world, which is not more than even the wing of a mosquito that was apparent before him. Who would understand the reality of this world more than him? You gave the example of our mother, Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, Sidra Umar Farooq radiallahu anha. His aversion towards this world, how was it? He had only one qamis, the upper garment, and a Bedouin came, asked for it, and he gave that to him. And he says that at that very moment of time, there was nothing else that was under his ownership. And that was the only thing, and he gave it to him. These are those personalities, Rizwan Bhai, who've left such a legacy for us, such an example for us, which is an eye-opener for us, that what life are we living? You know, they're showing disinterest in this world, and we are showing disinterest in the hereafter.
Further, Vasil, that's one more element to highlight in the generosity
of course.
SubhanAllah. He could have kept that for him also.
Which would have been halal?
Yeah, definitely. And but he distributed. And everything, he did not keep anything for him, and he distributed. And giving sadaqah early in the morning, according to Hadith of Rasulullah, give sadaqah early in the morning, as charity given in the morning prevents calamity.
SubhanAllah.
And many people of Madani Shannon, they could be distressed. Some of them could be worried or see tension, problems, issues, calamities in life. So we should have this mindset to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And having such programs, talking about life and legacy of our pious predecessors, the main idea and point is that we learn from this seerah. If we have learned this, and I would say that every morning, if it is possible, we should keep a Madani box from Dawat Islam, alhamdulillah, and we should give it sadaqah, and we should collect, and then we should give it, hand over to Dawat Islam brothers. And you can find out in your locality, you can get those Madani Afghan box, Madani donation box, and then you can start practicing, subhanAllah. Or in any way, form, or shape, if you can give sadaqah, alhamdulillah, early in the morning, you can get reward. That will prevent someone from calamities. Another hadith is seen by, indeed, sadaqah of a Muslim increases life.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.
And rids him of a bad death.
SubhanAllah.
Now, we also want that we have a good end. We don't want a bad death, isn't it? And Allah only prevents evils like arrogance, boasting, jealousy, and pride with the blessings of salah.
SubhanAllah.
The calamities of the hereafter, alhamdulillah, the calamities of the time of nazar, calamities, inshallah, zuhil, on the day of judgment, everything will be prevented and removed if we give in the path of Allah.
SubhanAllah. You see, as we were talking earlier, that disinterest in the world, these traits, these qualities are interlinked.
Yeah.
And generosity is also very much linked towards this very fact as well. Indeed. I mean, of course, you keep whatever you need for your own necessity, for looking after your family and everything. But again, when you're disinterested in this world, then the element of generosity would also be of a higher degree within your nature.
Ulama of Tasawwuf, they have given a beautiful point in terms of having this distrust towards this dunya. What does actually it mean? They say that a ship in the water, in an ocean, it sails.
Right.
It does not drown. And it has water all around it.
True.
But it does not drown. It sails. Now, what actually happens if water comes inside that ship, that will straight away drown. So, again, dunya is like this. If dunya is around you, as long as it is not in your heart,
you're sailing
it through. It will not affect you. But if it comes in your heart, if love of this dunya comes in your heart, if love of this mal comes in your heart, then this will make you destroyed. In other words, that the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot come in that heart. Love of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam will not come in that heart which is already filled with love of this dunya. Right? How come is it possible that we claim the both?
Indeed, true.
That we are also loving this dunya, we're also loving this mal, and we claim that we are also lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You love one, you compromise on the other.
Yes.
You love this dunya, you'll compromise your hereafter. You love your hereafter, you compromise on this dunya.
And definitely, if dunya is around you, that's fine. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with the ni'mas and you enjoy those ni'mas, but one should not have that love. The factor of loving something, that if it doesn't, I do not have this, maybe I will die for that.
And it is also how to judge this.
Mm-hmm.
For example, whether I love this dunya or not, what is the measuring scale? If that is keeping us away from the remembrance of Allah Almighty, if that is keeping us away from our nawafil, the faraid we have to offer, no matter what, whatever is fard upon us, that is fard upon us, that is stipulated upon us by the Sharia, there is no compromise on that. But how has this wealth, this dunya, kept us in terms of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This should be our testing and measuring scale.
Absolutely right. Muslim Abbasin, let's include one segment in our program.
Sure.
And that is the words of wisdom. Let's include that. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
We've got a tip for answering Jannah.
Subhanallah.
What is that tip? Anybody wants to know that? Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala and says, those people whose tongues remain moist, busy with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will enter Jannah smilingly.
Subhanallah.
Now, if we want to enter Jannah, what we need to do is keep ourselves busy in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that tongue remains busy, one person keeps the tongue moist in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enter to Jannah, inshallah, it's the tip.
Subhanallah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Mawla Ali Mushkil Kushaa, karramallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah. You were talking about Mawla Mushkil Kushaa, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, and commentary of Surah Fatiha. I've got the exact narration before me, which I wanted to bring forth for the benefit of the viewers of Madani channel and of ourselves as well. The fourth Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, states, if I wish, I could have 70 camels loaded with the commentary of Surah Fatiha. So this is the statement of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. So after quoting this saying of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, the reviver of Islam, the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah, he explains. So what did Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem said? 70 camels, right? And Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah, he's explaining this, that one camel carries several months of weight. We'll come back to month.
Yeah.
One camel carries several months of weight, and every month contains several thousands of ajza, meaning documents.
Yeah.
So if you do the calculation of 70 camels, then it works out to be 2.5 million documents.
Allah.
This would be the commentary of only Surah Fatiha. 2.5 million documents. So 2.5 million documents with this calculation which Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah, he brought forward.
Allah. This is the knowledge. This is the scholarly status of Mawla Ali Mishki Bishar. Karram Allah Ta'ala Walhamu Kareem. If this is the knowledge, this is the eminence, this is the status of Mawla Ali Mishki Bishar, ye shaan hai khidmat ka fardar ka alam kya hoga. If this is the shaan and eminence of the door of that knowledge,
the city of the knowledge.
Allahu Akbar, what would be the status and eminence? How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have granted to His all beloved, all Sahaba Ikram, Tabi'in, Taba Tabi'in, you, me, all of us, each and everything has been created. What knowledge and what status Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have granted and given to His all beloved. This we leave on to you. You can imagine anything, subhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. Beautiful narration, mashallah, and a beautiful explanation also from Sayyidina Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatu rahmat. Sayyidina Amir Salih rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has reported. Once Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala and said to Sayyidina Darrar rahmatullahi ta'ala. It's a very interesting narration. He said, please mention the qualities of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-karim before. Sayyidina Darar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, one cannot comprehend the level of knowledge and wisdom of Sayyidina Ali
karramallahu
ta'ala. No doubt, as we earlier heard the narration, who can comprehend
70 camels,
2.5 million documents. One cannot comprehend the level of knowledge and wisdom of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem. He radiallahu anhu would speak in a decisive manner and would resolve issues with great justice. The eminent personality of Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem was the fountain of knowledge and wisdom. Whenever he radiallahu anhu would speak, his speech had been full of pearls of wisdom. Now each and every quality which has been read to you, which is we are just explaining, respectively, of Mawla Ali, just ponder and reflect. There are pearls of knowledge for us to also adopt and subhanAllah learn from the seed of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And he said he radiallahu anhu disliked worldliness. Radiallahu anhu would feel delighted in the darkness of the night by the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By Allah, he radiallahu anhu had been very tearful, far-sighted and grieved. He radiallahu anhu used to hold his nafs, himself accountable. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu would like to wear rough and thick clothes and would eat, you see, bread, which is, you see, very
basic.
Yeah, basic and dry bread. By Allah azza wa jalla, he radiallahu anhu had such a majestic personality that all of us would feel reluctant to talk to him.
Allah.
So this was his subhanallah,
the personality he had.
However, whenever we visited him, he radiallahu anhu always came forward to meet us with warm welcome. He radiallahu anhu answered our queries and accepted our invitation. How whenever he radiallahu anhu would smile, his blessed teeth would look like a string of white pearls. Subhanallah. He radiallahu anhu would respect the pious, love the masakeen, destitute, and would never give hope to the influential to fulfill their invalid, untruthful desires. No vulnerable person would be disappointed from his court. Rather, he radiallahu anhu would have confident to have justice done from his court. Now, Fari says, by Allah, I have witnessed that when the night would fall, he radiallahu anhu would weep bitterly, holding his blessed beard, and would twist like a wounded person. I heard him saying, O world, have you turned your face away from me, or are you still desirous of me? Look at this, respect you, Yusuf Madinishan, look at this. He's talking to the world. What are you saying? Oh, you deceptive world, go and mislead someone else. I have divorced you thrice, in which there remains no opportunity of reconciliation. Your aid is too short. Your luxuries and bounties are cruel and your dangers are huge, he's saying to this world. Alas, the journey to the afterlife is too long. The provisions are very short and the path is difficult and full of dangers. Having heard this much, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu an wept so much that his blessed beard was drenched in tears, and the people present were also crying, hearing the quality of Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mushriku Shakar. Then he radiallahu an said, may peace be upon Abul Hasan, Sayyidina Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem. By Allah, he radiallahu an was surely as has been mentioned.
Subhanallah.
It was a bit long narration, but full of excellence, eminence, features, qualities, attributes, subhanallah, of Sayyidina Mawla Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem. And I hope that, alhamdulillah, viewers would have benefited from this and we would have learned a lot.
Indeed, definitely. And this also depicts the love that the Sahaba, they had between them as well, mashallah. This eminence, alhamdulillah, was reported to us through Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anh. Now let's go in the court of the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, that how he praised Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. In this narration, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he's mentioning that Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Farooq al-Azam radiallahu anhu, he states that Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem is the biggest qazi amongst us, and Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is the biggest qari amongst us.
Qazi means chief justice,
the chief judge. That Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem is the biggest, the greatest qazi amongst us. And Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is the greatest qari between us. Now, again over here, Izwan Bey, when we hear this narration, it also shows us the importance of reciting the Qur'an. As Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he's also mentioning Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu along with Mula Mushkil Kushakar ramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. One being the greatest qadi, one being the greatest qari. And this eminence is associated with the Qur'an. This eminence is associated with knowing how to recite the Qur'an, loving the Qur'an, acting upon the Qur'an, following the Qur'an. So this is a great learning curve for us as well, something where we need to ponder upon and question ourselves as well, that what is our relation with the Qur'an? Do we even know how to recite the Qur'an properly, let alone understanding it and then acting upon it? But have we made efforts to learn the Qur'an first of all?
Sure.
And then have we tried to reflect upon the Qur'an, what Allah Almighty is addressing us as, what Allah Almighty is telling us? If you don't understand the Qur'an, how would you reflect upon it?
Sure.
The Qur'an is the guide for us. It is the code of conduct for us. How can we reflect upon something when we don't even understand it? So a very big question mark for ourselves in this narration, where we learn the excellence of Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem and Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu. We also at the same time should be questioning ourselves that how close we are to the Qur'an.
Now, if you talk about the closeness of Qur'an, and again Sayyidina Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, right? And it is mentioned that the Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem would mount on a horse, right? And he would put his one foot in the strip of that horse, and then he would just put the other feet and he would mount onto the horse, and he would have finished Quran.
Before he would have his foot in the other strip, he would have completed the recitation of Quran. This is, of course, his karama.
He would do this, subhanAllah.
His miracle, saintly miracle, which Allah Almighty blessed him with.
But again, you can see that his attachment with Quran, his love with Quran, his recitation of the Quran, subhanAllah.
His understanding of the Quran, reflection of the Quran.
That is next to man.
Commentary of Surah Fatiha, which we covered. 70 camels being loaded with it, with those documents, you see.
Just for the tafsir of one surah.
SubhanAllah.
Respective views of Money Channel, let's include one segment in our program, and this is Did You Know? Let's find out what questions we've got for you today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Wasim Al-Mazmi, we've got a few questions.
Sure.
Question number one. How old was the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam when he traveled to Syria for the second time?
Subhanallah, subhanallah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 25 years old when he traveled to Syria for the second time. Question for you, Rizwan bhai. The bitch being flies and also gives birth.
The bat.
Subhanallah.
Yeah. Another question. How many sons did Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam have? Many would not know this. How many sons did he? Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam had.
SubhanAllah. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had 13 sons. SubhanAllah. 13, that's 1-3. 13 sons. Question for you is one way. Which person, after 4,000 years, came back to life? In which prophet did he then believe?
Sayyidina Sa'd bin Nuh rahmatullahi alayhi came back to life and believed in Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam.
SubhanAllah.
Sa'd bin Nuh.
So he was the son of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, who passed away at that time, and at the time of Isa alayhi salam, he was resurrected and believed in him. SubhanAllah.
After 4,000 years.
Allah, Allah, Allah. SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. Okay. Another question. What was the cost of purchasing the land for Masjid Nabawi?
SubhanAllah. It was 10 dinars.
10 dinars.
SubhanAllah. 10 dinars it was. How old was Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu when he embraced Islam?
He was 26 years old.
SubhanAllah.
MashaAllah. Mr. Fakir Muzaffar and Sharif, a few questions for you just to change the taste and to increase the knowledge. Alhamdulillah, we must have learned a lot today from this segment too. Wasim Abbas bhai, we are talking about Mawla Ali Mashki Kusha Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahu Al-Kareem, his eminence, his excellence, his attributes, his qualities, his life and legacy. Anything else we would like to share with you?
SubhanAllah. Yes, another narration, Rizwan, that Sayyidina Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu mentions, where he says that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he tapped his hand in between the shoulders of Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem and said, O Ali, you have 7 such excellences due to which no one can be like you, can face you on the Day of Judgment.
SubhanAllah.
And what are those 7 excellences? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says that you were the first one to believe in Allah Almighty.
Yes.
Second one, that you are the one who would fulfill the promise of Allah the most. This is the second. The third one, that you are the one who establishes the command of Allah the most.
SubhanAllah.
Number four, you are the one who establishes justice in the subject amongst the people. Number five, you are the one who distributes with justice. You distribute equally. Number six, you possess the most wisdom, foresightedness in delivering a verdict, in making a decision. And number seven, on the Day of Judgment, you will be appointed on the highest of the stations.
SubhanAllah.
Now, Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu, he beautifully mentioned this narration where the Prophet والسلام, praised Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem in these words whilst tapping his left back, or tapping between both his shoulders.
SubhanAllah. So, what a great excellence he radiallahu anhu possesses. If we talk about love of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam, we have Rasulullah and Sahaba Ikram alayhi salatu. Now, this narration, Amir Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem was completely overwhelmed with ishqi Rasul, with love of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Intense love and obedience to beloved Rasul alayhi salatu
wasalam.
Someone asked Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, how much do you love the Holy Prophet?
What a question.
How much do you love the Holy Prophet? Replied, I swear by Allah Azza wa Jal, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dearer to us than our wealth, offspring, parents, and even cold water at the time of intense thirst. Now, if we talk about what he has covered, look at the fasahat of Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu. He mentioned wealth. People,
right.
They normally love their wealth a lot. We have got that love with our wealth. But he says, we love Rasulullah more than the wealth. Then we love our children, offspring.
Indeed.
He mentioned that, more than our offspring. So Rasulullah is more dear to us than our own children. Parents. Another personality a person loves his parents. And he says, we love Rasulullah more than parents. And then even cold water at a time of intense thirst. Now you can imagine the scorching heats of Arabia, and if there is intense thirst a person is having in that hot weather, how much would he love that water? So it's not only, in other words, it's the savior of life.
Indeed,
for a person,
definitely.
If somebody is thirsty, so you can say that subhanAllah, even for one's own life, Rasulullah is more dearest to Mawla Ali Bashir Kusha. And they had proved that on many occasions,
indeed.
At the time of the migration. He had done Mawla Ali ne bari teri neend par namaz. And this is, we understand Mawla Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahul Kareem's excellence and his love for Rasulullah, the sacrifices he made, and always he was with Rasulullah, whether it was time of peace or war.
SubhanAllah, you see this narration, the eloquence of Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahul Kareem also shows his scholarly status. And in one way, Sayyidina Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahul Kareem mentioned the entire psychology, the philosophy of Iman, that what Iman is. Loving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is the essence of faith. If there's no love, or if we lack in the love of the Prophet,
and there's the hadith of Rasulullah, one cannot become a mu'min unless he loves me
more than all the things that Prophet mentioned. So, Sayyidina Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahul Kareem, whilst he mentioned all these things, that I love the Prophet more than wealth, offspring, parents, cold water, the time of intense thirst in the scorching heat, all these things, he radiallahu anhu covered the entire philosophy of Iman and showed us that if you want to become a complete believer, then this is what you need to do. You need to hold the Prophet dear to yourself, and everything what a person can love, only then can you become a true believer.
Respecting those of men, inshallah, we are talking about Mawla Ali Bashir Kusha Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahul Kareem. Now it's the time to include final segments in our program, and that is Hadith of the day. Let's find out what is there for us to learn from the saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in his program Lives of the Companions. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the Companions radiyallahu anhum.
A Muslim is often intrigued about a particular matter, and that is, when will the Day of Judgment occur? Sometimes we don't think about a key question in relation to the hereafter and Judgment Day. What have I prepared for it? But we're all very eager to learn about the signs of the Day of Judgment. How far is it from our era? Which is not necessarily a wrong thing. But one thing to note here is, the way we are eager to know whether Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, is qareeb or not, we should also prepare for it as well. One hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions certain signs that will occur before the Day of Judgment. Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala is the narrator. He says, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam يَقُولُ. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, إِنَّ مِنْ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ أَنْ يُرْفَعَ الْعِلْمِ. I heard the Prophet alaihi wasallam say that from the signs of the hour, meaning Judgment Day, is that knowledge will be lifted, will be raised. وَيَكْثُرَ الْجَهْلُ. And ignorance will become widespread. وَيَكْثُرَ الزِّنَا. And adultery, fornication will become rampant, will become rife. وَيَكْثُرَ شُرْبُ الْخَمْرِ. And alcohol will be drunk in large amounts, in abundance. وَيَقِلَّ الرِّجَالُ. وَيَكْثُرَ النِّسَاءُ. Males will be less in number, and females will be greater in number. حَتَّى يَكُونَ لِخَمْسِينَ امْرَأَةً الْقَيِّمُ الْوَاحِدُ. To the extent that 50 women will be supervised by one male, will be looked after, or there will be one male who is a guardian of 50 women. Now, subhanAllah, this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ tells us when Judgment Day will occur, or the signs of the Day of Judgment. And if we are truthful with ourselves, and we can't lie to ourselves, majority of these signs are occurring right now. How many people are seeking religious knowledge, sacred knowledge? And jahal, ignorance is widespread. People say what they like about the deen. They won't dare say anything regarding another field because they're not experts. But when it comes to the deen, they'll say anything and everything. Ma'azallah. Zina, again, is widespread. It's happening. Youngsters are struggling to get married and then they're resorting to haram. There's pressures of society. Parents are not agreeing to marriages. And all sorts of problems are occurring. Alcohol is being drunk. It's easily available. People are drinking. People are consuming it. And the last sign, we can see remnants of that as well. So the best thing for a Muslim to do is gain knowledge of the deen, knowledge of when the hour will be established, and prepare for the afterlife. Not just be interested in learning about the hadith, which is good to learn about the hadith, learn about the topics mentioned in the hadith, but the actual purpose behind all of this is to do amal. Allah Ta'ala enable us to prepare for the hereafter.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Yes, respected viewers of Madani Channel, we were learning a hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And again, we are talking about Sayyidina Mawla Ali, Mushkil Kusha, karramallahu ta'ala, wajhahu al-kareem. Few minutes left. This personality is great personality. We cannot do really justice when we talk about such great personalities in this very short span of time. But alhamdulillah, we are just writing our names in that list who praised the such great personalities like Sayyidina Mawla Ali, Mushkil Kusha, karramallahu ta'ala, wajhahu al-kareem. Masih Ramazbi, what would you like to mention?
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he mentioned the excellence of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. Regarding this, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he himself says, that the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said to me, Marhaba, O the leader of mu'mineen and the imam of muttaqeen.
Allah.
So the Prophet alayhi wa sallam is addressing Ali radiallahu anhu as, Marhaba, O the leader of believers and O the imam of muttaqeen. Now, people ask Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem that upon what thing, what is it upon which you thank Allah Almighty, for which you thank Allah Almighty. So now this is again a great learning curve as well for us. We should also adopt this very principle and follow the footsteps of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. So he says that whatever Allah has granted me, I thank Allah, I glorify Allah over it. I perform the hamd of Allah Almighty over it. And I ask Allah Almighty for the ability, for the tawfiq of thanking Him upon the blessings that He gave me. And I ask Him, I question Him for more. You see, glorifying Allah Almighty, then asking for the tawfiq, the ability of thanking Him for whatever Allah Almighty has given me, and then asking Him to give me more. So this is also what we should also do, that we should thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for all the blessings that He has given us. You thank Allah Almighty, He would bestow you more. So this is what Sayyidina Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahu Al-Kareem replied when Aqa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam addressed Him as Marhaba, O the leader of believers and Imam of Muttaqeen, the pious. And there's one more narration, this one that I would like to touch upon.
Please.
Which Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he narrates that the Prophet Alayhi Salatu Wasalam asked me to call Abu Barza Aslami radiallahu anhu. So I called him, and now Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he addresses Abu Barza radiallahu anhu, and he says to him that, Abu Barza radiallahu anhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken promise from me regarding Ali. That Ali is the alam, the mark, the symbol of hidayat, of guidance. He is the minaret of faith, of iman. He is the imam of my awliya, and he is the noor of all obedient people. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam carried on to say that, Abu Barza, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu an, tomorrow on the day of judgment will be my ameen and amongst those who will hold my alam, my flag. And Ali radiallahu an is the key of the treasures of mercy of my Lord.
Subhanallah.
Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned this, that Ali is the key of the treasures of the mercy of Allah Almighty, of my Lord.
So if you want to open that mercy, the treasure,
you need that key. Subhanallah, you need that key. And then there's many, many other narrations as well, where we come to know about the excellence of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. He radiallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me that, Ali, Allah Almighty has commanded me that I bring you closer to me and teach you knowledge so that you remember it And then this verse was revealed, which is verse number 12 of Surah Haqqa, where it is said that He will preserve this knowledge. So your ears are the one that will preserve this knowledge which I give to you. You know, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-Karim, he says himself that Wallahi, by Allah, I have the knowledge of every verse of the Quran, that when and where was it revealed. Undoubtedly, Allah Almighty has granted me a heart that comprehends much, and a tongue that understands more. Amma Aisha radiallahu anha says that in entire Medina, there was no one who knew more Shari'i rulings than Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-Karim. Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anha was delivering one verdict. He delivered a verdict, and Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-Karim drew his attention towards one aspect of the decision that he had made. Mm-hmm. And Umar Farooq radiallahu anha, straight away, he took his decision back. And he said that if Ali wasn't there, Umar would have been destroyed. Mm-hmm. If Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu wouldn't be there, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu wouldn't deliver verdicts many a time. You know, what can we say about Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-Kareem? You want to talk about his bravery at the expedition of Khaybar? There was no one like Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-Kareem who conquered Khaybar. Mm-hmm. There is not for no reason that he's called Lion of Allah.
Excellence, knowledge, bravery, anything
made it,
name of Allah.
Rizwan bhai, out of all the excellences what we've been talking about, the knowledge he possessed, as a conclusive remark, obviously the time doesn't permit me to carry on to talk about my master, my leader, my guide, my Mawla, Mawla Mushkil Kushi Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-Kareem. If we only take this saying of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-Kareem as an advice, he says that more than performing an action, make arrangements for its acceptance.
Allah.
As a small action performed with taqwa is very big.
Subhanallah.
And an action, a deed that is accepted, how can that be small?
Allah.
More than performing the action, make arrangements for its acceptance.
Allah. Ikhlas, again.
An action performed with taqwa, how can that be small? And an action that is accepted, how can that be small?
It's beautiful, beautiful. Subhanallah. Respect you, Yusuf Manishan. To understand Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha, karramallahu ta'ala, wajahul kareem, one also needs an intellect. I see deep meaning each and every phrase, sentence he has said. And one thing I would like to give you as a tip, and he, Rabbi Allah Ta'ala, and says, whenever you want your needs to be fulfilled, then recite abundant salat upon the blessed Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before making dua. Undoubtedly, Allah Azza wa Jal favors that person who asks for his needs. If whoever asks for those things that Allah Azza wa Jal bestows him, whatever is better for him, and prevents those things which are harmful for him. The tip is, whenever you make dua, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recite durood upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Before and after, make dua, inshallah, your dua will be accepted, you'll get what is good for you. Again, that's all for today. Inshallah, we'll be back with another beautiful topic next week, same time, same channel. Jazakallahu khairan wa sallam ba'd for your precious time. Keep watching Madani channel. And again, keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lies of the companions radiallahu anhum. Lies of the companions.